As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
The Athletic.
Hello, and welcome to From the Rooker End, a podcast brought to you by The Athletic. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Watford 6, Bristol City 0. We've been waiting for it. Oh, we've been praying for it. This weekend's podcast is a little different. It's going to be the story of Mike and his time at Vicarage Road yesterday. As some of you may know, he works for Opta on match days, all part of their statistical gathering gang. Don't ask me. I don't even know what XG really is. And he was at Vicarage Road and we try to capture what that experience is like at the moment on an empty stadium. He, of course, catch up with a few people who are also lucky enough to be there. Mr. Adam Leventhal, the Watford correspondent for The Athletic, see what he thought of the game, but also Miss Kelly Sommers. You might have heard her a few weeks ago on the midweek podcast. It wasn't a good game we talked about, but now she gets to speak to us about a 6-0 win. So Mike will catch up with those a bit later on. Thank you so much for all your feedback on the podcast via our social medias at Watford Podcast on Twitter, Instagram, and on Facebook, particularly about the podcast we did in the week with Adam and his interview he'd done with Filippo Giraldi. That podcast is still out there for you to listen to if you haven't done so yet. And also, you can read the article on theathletic.com. Of course, if you're not a subscriber, you can go to theathletic.com/rookeryend and sign up. It's $3.99 a month at the moment, which is about 13, 14p a day, depending on how you round your decimals. As a subscriber, you get ad-free versions of this podcast, as well as getting the fantastic world-class analysis and coverage of sport that The Athletic have grown their reputation in the last few years. So, what happened yesterday at Vicarage Road? Well, you know the score. You probably saw it on Hive Live. But what was it like for Mike going to the game? Let's find out how he was feeling at the beginning of the day. I wonder if he was jubilant and happy at that point.
Hello, this is Mike. It's just gone 12 o'clock on Saturday afternoon, Saturday the 13th of February. The day before Valentine's Day, but of course the thing we all love on a Saturday is going to the football. And I'm one of the lucky people, one of the lucky few who are able to go to see Watford in action. So I thought I'd take you with me. This podcast is going to be kind of like the story of my day, what it's like going to Watford during these strange times, what it's like at Vicarage Road. And we'll see who we can catch up with to get their views on the game and the performances of Watford, which of course, last three games have been a bit disappointing, really, haven't they? We've lost ground on the promotion places, on the top two there, with some pretty lacklustre displays. So we're hoping for a better performance today. And I have to say that, easy for me to say I'm off to the game, but even when I'm not going, I do wake up on a Saturday or a Tuesday or a Monday, whenever it is Watford are playing, and I still get that skip in my step, still get that sort of match day, still feel different, whether you're going or not. And so I'm feeling positive today. I'm going to try and take a little bit of that with me to Vicarage Road and see if we can see a decent Watford win, because quite frankly, We need it, don't we? I think for a whole host of reasons, as Watford supporters, we need it to give us a bit of cheer, a bit of joy back in our lives during this difficult time. And I think the team need it as well, don't they? It's been, like I said, really, really difficult week. We've lost ground at the top. It feels like we're still struggling to find that identity. But I've taken a few steps to try and see if I can snap the voodoo. I looked at my bag earlier and I realised that I failed to take off the security tags that get stuck on your bag every time they get checked. So I wondered if that was bringing a bit of bad juju into the game. So I've cut all those off. And also in a bit of reverse sort of bad luck, I was looking around for warm clothes to wear today. And I found a pair of football socks. And the last time I wore them was when I snapped my Achilles the day before the FA Cup final at Watford, playing on the pitch at Vicarage Road. So I've put those on for the first time in a sort of bid to, I don't know, break a curse. And hopefully those actions, I can't see how it would fail. Cutting bits of fluorescent coloured paper off my bag and wearing football socks, I can't fail to see how they will deliver a good result for Watford. But anyway, enough of that nonsense. I'm off to Vicarage Road. The sun's shining. The temperature's gone up as I've been talking, proving once and for all and scientifically that I do talk nothing but hot air. But anyway, off to Watford. Come on, you golden boys. So I've just turned left from Harwoods Road to be greeted with the sight that, quite frankly, will never get old. Turning left onto Vicarage Road, and I can see there before me Vicarage Road Stadium. And ever since I've been coming, since I was a little kid, it's a sight that, I don't know, it's hard to articulate. It's just exciting. It means one thing. It means match day. It means getting to see Watford. So absolutely love it, and never lost on me just sort of the awe and excitement just turning the corner and seeing the stadium. It's absolutely superb. Of course, very, very different approaching the ground today. Usually the road would be shut, Vicarage Road would be shut. There'd be programme sellers. You'd be able to see and smell the food for sale. There'd be the away fans starting to arrive, most of them looking cross that they can't get a drink in the ground. But none of that. There's absolutely none of that. You can probably hear the traffic is passing as per normal down Vicarage Road. And the most activity really is people popping in and out of Wenzel's, which, for those of you who haven't been here for a little while, there is now a Wenzel's pretty much next to the club shop on Vicarage Road. You wouldn't know there's a match on. Which, you know, I guess that's the way it is, but it's kind of sad. You still get that excitement seeing the ground, but you don't get the buzz of you would get from match day. There's no programme sellers, no burger van, no nothing. The only real indication that there's the match on is at top of Occupation Road is the stewards, who are there just making sure that people who head down Occupation Road are supposed to be heading down there, either if you live there or you're going to the game. So that's the only real telltale sign that there's a game on today, which is sad, really. Almost a year now, of course, since fans were, well, the ground was open fully. So yeah, it's always exciting to see the ground, but tinged with sadness. Just walking down Occupation Road now, and as luck would have it, Watford team bus just arrived. So just seeing the players coming off the coach there. Hopefully they're ready for the game today. But my job now, I need to go and get my bag searched before going. Then temperature check. Have to have a temperature check every time you come in to get your accreditation. Then I'll be into the ground and basically trying to stay warm. So temperature check done, accreditation got. And into Vicarage Road it is. And much like when you get that first glimpse of the stadium from outside, walking up Vicarage Road, words still really can't describe that thrill you get when you see inside Vicarage Road. And I really must say, just looking at it now, Vicarage Road Stadium these days does look an absolute picture. Beautiful, brisk, freezing cold but bright day today. Vicarage Road bathed in sort of winter sunlight, and the stadium really is incredible. And just taking a minute just to remember what it was like and where we come from now, all the corners filled in, it just truly is wonderful. And of course the only thing missing is supporters, and it's always tinged with sadness, and to come in knowing that the supporters aren't going to be here to cheer the boys on. But yeah, just seeing that expanse of green, I think it still gives you that excitement. There's still the same boyish, childlike sort of awe when you see it, and the hope and anticipation of everything that might come to pass. Let's hope today that what comes to pass is a positive performance. My job now is to go and find out the teams. I have to get those teams confirmed, get the formations down, and get those off to Opta, who then Obviously programmed them in ahead of the game. So that's my job. I'll be doing that now. And let's wait and see what happens. Let's wait and see which team Gisco goes for this afternoon. Now then, I talked about the boyish excitement I get when I see the pitch and the stadium. Well, that is nothing compared to the excitement that just went through me as someone that works here at Watford mentioned that a QPR member of staff is coming to watch the game today. A man named John Eustace is going to be in the ground. So hopefully I'll get to lay eyes on... well, basically, he's my idol. He's my hero. He's my man crush, whatever you want to call it. I'm pretty open and honest about that. I love John Eustace. And bizarrely enough, if you'd seen me on Twitter this morning, I found my Wear a Vest for Danny Day vest. On which I said, when I grow up, I want to be John Eustace. I took a picture of that. I don't know if I'm quite sad enough to show him that. I think I probably am if I see him. So, stay tuned for any John Eustace updates. Right, teams in. Teams dispatched to up to 10 minutes now to kick off. And we've got the tune from The Greatest Showman blaring out over the tannoy as we build up to kick off. Who will be the great showman for Watford this afternoon? Bristol City starting with a left-back. This is his championship debut, so hopefully Ismaila Sarr can perhaps make some inroads down that right-hand side for Watford, the left-hand side for Bristol City, who are beleaguered by injuries. It's been speaking to a couple of guys from the Bristol City media team, and they're playing all right, but struggling for personnel. So this is another big opportunity for Watford. Come on, you Hornets, you can do it. Let's go. Well, it's 2:56 here at Vicarage Road. The sounds of Technocat in the background there. Music to the ears of so many Watford fans down the years. Quick John Eustace update. No sign of him so far, which is a little bit disappointing. Just craning my head left and right. Can't see him anywhere. He may, I guess, be hiding from me, quite frankly, because... if he knows just how deep my love for him is, then I'll do the same. So, yeah, just a couple of minutes now till kick-off. No sign of John Eustace as we wait for the teams here at Vicarage Road. And, by the way, it is absolutely freezing. There it is, then, that sound that we all long to hear. Lucky to be here hearing it live. Zed Cars, Tom Cleverly leaving out Watford, Daniel Batman there. Yeah, Watford out on the pitch, and as ever, I keep saying it, but it's still got that buzz. Seeing the team come out, hearing that music, absolutely incredible, absolutely love it. Can Watford finally turn in the performance that we know that they've got within them? You look out there and you see a great side. Just about to announce the sides, and we know that this is a decent Watford side. We know that this quality there. Is today the day they finally show it? Only time will tell. A couple of minutes away from kick-off here at Vicarage Road. Come on, you Hornets. It's going to be a minute's applause for Tony Collins, who played for Watford and Bristol City, assistant manager and chief scout, so an important man for both these clubs. And it's going to be
So now, please join us for a minute's applause from the members of Tony's service to both of today's clubs and football as a whole, starting on the whistle of the referee.
This episode is supported by Season 3 of FX's Welcome to Wrexham. Celebrity owners Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds' small-town Welsh football club has finally been promoted into League 2 after 15 seasons in the National League. Dedicated staff and supporters celebrate the city's return to glory while bracing for the newfound challenges that come with being in a higher division. Will Wrexham AFC stand up to the challenges and rise again into League 1? FX's Welcome to Wrexham premieres May 2nd on FX. Stream on Hulu.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard it right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask me. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
From the Rookery End, a podcast about life following Watford FC.
Time here at Vicarage Road, and Watford have triumphed 6-0. Striking problems, what striking problems? Six of the best for the Hornets this afternoon. Rounded off with a lovely one right at the end with Phillips Inkenagel tapping in after a lovely counter-attacking move. So yeah, 6-0 to Watford. Freezing cold, but a performance to warm even the coldest parts of my body, which we won't go into too much. I was hoping to maybe get a socially distanced well, you can't have no such thing as a socially distanced hug, is there? But hopefully to get warmed up by John Eustace. Still no sign of John Eustace. Someone must have tipped him the wink that I was on the prowl for him. But there you go. Not going to be too grumpy. Even I'm not going to be too grumpy. It's final whistle as the lads just go through their warm down. It's Watford 6, Bristol City 0. Come on, you Hornets. There she is, a very cold but happy-looking Kelly Summers. Kelly, how are you doing?
Well, a lot better after that. It's nice to be talking positively about Watford, isn't it? That's exactly what we all needed, I think.
It is what we needed, especially today on a freezing day. I'm not going to mention the weather all day. I'm not going to mention it again, I promise. But, Kev, we spoke briefly before the game, and what we said, fast start, didn't we? And we got it.
Yeah, it feels like it's a long time since we've seen Watford come out of the traps like that. Let's start this conversation by admitting that Bristol City were really, really poor. Some of the journalists around me today saying that I think Dean Holden will be lucky to keep his job. But for so many times this season, Watford haven't taken advantage of the position of the opposition. We haven't exposed their vulnerabilities, and today we did exactly that. I felt like the intensity, everything about it was there. We took every opportunity that came. When it was 5-0, one of my colleagues said to me, Watford only had 5 shots on target. They'd had 15 shots at that point overall. I don't know what the final count was, but for once, it felt like we played with intensity. We wanted to go and make a statement, and I think that's what we've done today.
Is that something you noticed from the game, that it just felt like they were up for it?
It felt like the right players were in the right positions on the right place of the pitch, with the right mentality.
So let's talk about that then. Let's talk about the formation. And we saw when the team sheet came through and we worked out the formation, what were your thoughts at that stage?
This is the Watford team we've wanted to see. I'll start this by saying I'm a big Troy Deeney fan, as I know some of the Watford fans aren't anymore, but I think we have to acknowledge the role he's played in a struggling Watford side of late has been impressive. And it felt a little bit harsh, as one of my journalist colleagues wheels all his equipment out behind us. It felt a little bit harsh to see him dropped, but I don't think he's right for that system. And I think we've wanted to see 4-3-3 for so long because it gets our best midfielders in their best positions, namely Will Hughes. That on paper is our best three attackers, and it's not just on paper because we've seen it on pitch today as well. They were absolutely brilliant, the front three.
And you noticed something about Troy, didn't you? You noticed he was standing up, a bit of a cheerleader throughout the game.
And that's what we want, because when Troy Deeney is not in the team, Troy Deeney still has the biggest role. He literally is, I hate the cliche, 12th man, but he is in terms of being vocal. And also just knowing we had him to come off the bench if we wanted to. Imagine if we had brought him on at 4-0 down, Bristol City would have been like, oh no, he would have ruffled a few feathers. He's got a big role to play, whether that's starting, maybe on today's performance, it isn't. But he's still got a massive role to play. He was shouting, he was up on his feet. That's exactly what we want from our club captain.
It's been a tough week, hasn't it, leading up to today? Three results that didn't really go our way. Two draws and a defeat. And it felt worse than that even, didn't it? And we felt like Watford have lost ground on the top two. But do you think what you've seen today, I know you don't get to see Watford firsthand as often as you would like now, that now they're playing well. can a performance like that, do you think, kickstart the season for a genuine push for that top two?
You and I joked before kickoff as you walked past me in the press box and you said, come on, here we go again. And I said, I'm not going to get excited because I'm fed up of week in, week out saying this is the week, it has to all come together, it's now or never, etc, etc, because we've said it too many times. But this does feel a little bit different. I think it also feels different because of the formation change, because of the positivity around the team. And I'm not having any of the... I saw a few people on Twitter, oh, let's celebrate Deeney and Gray aren't starting, that's the answer, yada, yada, yada. No, it's not about who's not on the pitch, it's about who's on the pitch. And as cliched as it sounds, we don't need that negativity on social media, because today let's celebrate who was on the pitch, who did a job. As I've said, Deeney still did his job off the pitch, in my opinion, as well. Let's just enjoy this performance, but it's just one performance. I just hope, and this is not me trying to be negative already, we can't let any complacency set in. We have to go with that intent every single week and do that to every single team, because that squad has the ability to do that to pretty much any team in the Championship.
Because that's one of the things that's frustrated me, is that this team, he's, you know, you look at it and it could be a Premier League team on paper. If we'd have fielded most of the teams that we've started this season, you wouldn't, in the Premier League, we wouldn't be upset. But they've looked like, certainly recently, they had the weight of the world on their shoulders, and they just look like a bit of the expectation is weighing them down and a bit of self-doubt. What was your take on the sort of body language? I know it's, they were sort of home and hosed quite early today, but the body language of the side and just the general aura and the feeling about the place this afternoon.
Swagger I've wanted to see from Watford this season, and I saw it towards the end, and I almost feel like that second half will be as beneficial as the first half. The second half, when we weren't as free scoring as we had been in the first half. I even joked at one point on final score that I was annoyed I hadn't had a goal to talk about. But that second half will be just as important, because for Watford, it gave them a bit of freedom. They could play without the fear of losing. They could try things out. We got to see Gosling, Lazar, Zinchenko, of course, getting his goal as well. That performance isn't just about scoring five goals. It was about the fact that it gave us the opportunity to try different things out and to be in a different position in a game that we haven't been in, because even when we've won this season, it's been so tight. So I hope they all wake up tomorrow morning, as we will, with a spring in our step and go, do you know, we're too good for this level. Let's take this lead by the scruff of the neck now. Let's show there's some good teams in this division. I know people are saying it's a weak Championship, but Norwich have had a bit of a wobble, but Norwich aren't going anywhere. Swansea and Brentford, they're the teams we now need to be comparing ourselves to. Last weekend, I haven't seen all of the results today because I was so caught up in this, but last weekend, Brentford went a goal down at Middlesbrough and then won 4-1. That's what we want from Watford. I don't just want us beating lowly, struggling teams. We have to now show it against the other teams, because as my Bristol City supporting mate texted me at full-time, I knew that was going to happen. Well, mate, we didn't. But from now on, I want teams to fear us. I want the fear of playing Watford to come back.
Me too. Now, I think today at least we've scored some goals at long last, and we joked in the week with some friends. It doesn't matter who Watford brought in. There's been all this talk about Ivan Toney coming in, and I've said, well, even if he had played, I think this Watford team would have struggled best use of him. How important, Kel, do you think the midfield is for Watford and getting that right?
Will Hughes. Having Will Hughes where Will Hughes plays best is so important. Will Hughes stood out for me today, probably because it's the first time this season he's played where he's meant to be. But also, let's not forget, every week, I think, when we've seen that team come out as 4-4-2, Chalobah and Cleverley are good players, and we need their work rate, we need their defensive capabilities, we need their desire. But that's not been creative enough. Put Hughes alongside them and it's just the perfect balance. This team has looked so unbalanced on so many times this season. The defences look good, the keepers look good, but it's been about balance. And today, for the first time, I saw that in the team. We had creativity, we had a bit of grit, we had a bit of everything. And I was on a podcast, on the Totally Football League podcast, which is, of course, part of the same kind of Athletic family, so I can mention that, I just realised. And I was very negative on Monday. I was very down about Munoz as well, and we've got to tip our hat to him, because he made those decisions today. Big calls at the beginning of the game to drop the skipper, to change the formation, and they paid off. But I said, I can't remember barely remember a good 45 or a wholesome 45 from Watford, let alone a wholesome 90. Well, thank you, boys. You must have listened, because that was it. And that's what we need. We need balanced performances week in, week out. We won't always win 5-0, but if we put in performances like that, we'll win more than we lose.
It's been a long time coming, but positivity abound. I said I wouldn't mention the weather again, but I am going to mention it one more time, Kelly. The listeners won't forgive me if we don't get an update on what gadgets you've got to keep you warm. You've got an amazing coat on, looking incredibly warm. You've got your DMs. What else have you got that's kept you warm this afternoon? A little glimpse into the life of a reporter.
I've got to be honest. Watford may have performed on the pitch, but my heated gadgets haven't. I've got, you can see, Mike, I'm showing you here what looks like I've just come out of prison.
Yeah,
with
she
a
looks like she's out on licence.
On both feet, I've got these heated socks. And they've got little lights on, different colour lights at the moment, because I can't work out which colour light means on, because none of them seem to mean on, so they haven't worked, so right. I can't really feel my toes. I've got a heated gilet on, but I forgot the battery pack. I also forgot the lead today for my ISDN kit, so thank God Watford turned up, because I barely did. But I'm warm, and to be honest, I don't really care if Watford are putting in performances like that. I could have forgotten everything, because yeah, more than made up for it.
Colbert happy. Cheers, Kelly. Joined at Vicarage Road by the Athletics correspondent, Adam Leventhal. Adam, we just heard, that was a very downbeat start, wasn't it? A downbeat introduction, considering what we've just seen. But I've just heard Dean Holden talking about his take on Bristol City performance. He was understandably pretty crestfallen and disappointed. But Adam, how was the Watford head coach compared to perhaps his last press conference or the last couple that he's had to give?
It was maybe a little bit surprising that he wasn't getting too excited about it. It was actually quite nice to see, considering, you know, having seen Dean Holden afterwards and he's sort of having to search his soul to find answers and saying that it was really, really horrible and, you know, this is a real low moment for Bristol City. The fact that Shisko was saying that we have to be humble here, let's enjoy it for 20 minutes and then we look forward to the next game. And obviously, you know, that is an acknowledgement of this being a particularly busy week, you know, with Preston on Tuesday, Derby on Friday. Obviously, he was very happy with the performance. You know, he acknowledged the fact that yes, this was a change in a lot of things. Some were circumstantial. We found out in the press conference that Troy, as we suspected, because he didn't take part in the warm-up before the game, he didn't warm up with the substitutes at half time and only had one little jog, which looked more like anything that we would have liked to have done if we could. He just went for a jog just to keep himself warm. That he had actually picked up that knee injury at Coventry and he was basically there more as a cheerleader today. That's great, people pick up injuries, but the fact that he wasn't in the side, it did unlock a lot of things in that Watford side. Shisko did say that he will play a role in this Watford team, obviously, and there will be rotations and there will be changes of system. The head coach deserves a great deal of credit that, yes, it might have been sort of almost forced upon him that he couldn't pick Troy today. But even if he was fit, I wonder whether this was a moment where he had to say, look, we've been working on different things. Let's play 4-3-3. Let's play Zhao through the centre. Play Semmer and Sarr either side and see how it goes. He needed to make a statement and that's exactly what he did. So I think great credit to him, but also credit to the team for putting that performance together, that dynamic, energetic, cohesive performance. Because it's the first time really this season that from 1 to 90, they did it all the way.
I was going to ask, so pragmatic from the head coach. And a lot of, obviously, a lot of the talk on Twitter, on social media amongst Watford fans throughout the world who obviously tune in to watch their team on a Saturday. They've been crying out for perhaps either a different formation and a slight change in personnel. But how much is down to that today, do you think? Is down to the change in formation? And how much is down to, and this all has to be contextualised against the backdrop of a very difficult afternoon for Bristol City. I think there's, you know, one estimate was that they're missing 13 players that they didn't have to choose from. So let's recognise that, but put it to one side for a minute, because Watford did play well. But how much is down to that change in formation, change in positions, or just an attitudinal shift, perhaps, from some of these Watford players, sensing blood and then actually going on and doing it? Because they've had opportunities against weakened or weaker sides before and simply haven't taken them.
Yeah, I think it was you're absolutely right. It was a change of attitude. But I think the change of personnel allowed that freedom. And, you know, having Will Hughes in the side playing central, surprise, surprise, it made Watford a better team. And yeah, it wasn't in a 4-4-2, but no, it was him sitting there as an anchor. And it allowed both Cleverley and Shalabar to do the pressing that Shisko Munoz wants them to do. And it then meant, and we discussed this in the last podcast, and I mean, to be fair, we've been discussing it all season, that, yeah, if you want that high press and you want that that real intense pressure, you can't leave a big void in behind. And by having Hughes there, setting the tempo, it just worked perfectly. And that's what Shisko Munoz said. He said it was perfect. And you look at the whole sort of offering of that Watford side. When you have Sema, João Pedro and Sarr up there, you've got Cleverley and Chalobah both joining in with attacks, overlapping runs, playing balls in behind as well. I mean, the first goal came from, you know, that great ball from Chalobah in for Sarr. It was just lots of rotation. It was clockwork, wasn't it? It was like cogs. Just
a bit more fluid.
Yeah, it worked perfectly, but that's what everyone had been crying out for. You're right in terms of the attitude. They were all on the same page. They seemed to be energised by the fact that they had been set up like that. And we also heard from Adam Messina as well in the post-match press conference, and he said something interesting, and he sort of acknowledged what we'd all heard about, and we found out that, you know, prior to the Coventry game, the way that they performed was as a result of changing what they had planned to do to what they actually did. And it shows that having had a whole week working to this system, playing this way, this is the sort of performance that they can deliver. I think that they will be cautious, because they are going to have to rotate.
Yeah.
And they know that, yes, this is the sort of the perfect combination and the way that they want to be set up, and probably the personnel that they want to have in every game. But it's going to be difficult. But it's a great sort of foundation stone that they've now laid. Would have been better having it earlier on in the season. But, you know, have this. This is the benchmark. And I said to Shisko Munoz at the end of the press, so it was like, you've made it really difficult for yourself now by winning 6-0. But look, he said, yeah, we have to, you know, we've done it. We'll have a beer, but we have to sort of, you know, forget about this and go on to the next one. But they've shown what they can do. They've got some confidence coursing through their veins. And yeah, and it's also a bit of a message to the other teams in the league, yeah, who were thinking they're one-dimensional, they only score penalties. So, you know, enjoy it. And I think for everyone as well, there's a bit of, you know, I got to the ground, I was feeling a bit sort of melancholy and a bit down just for other things and stuff. And to have that is a great boost. I think, so I hope everyone, you know, watching it wherever they were in the world, just really enjoyed that, because, you know, we've been crying out for something to make us feel positive. And
it was a Philip, yeah, wasn't it? Yeah. A Philip Zinkernagel, if you will. Let's just run very quickly through those players. I think some of them warrant it. I think for once we're not going to talk about the defence. Daniel Backman had literally nothing to do. I don't think he had a save to make. Yeah. Defensively, Watford pretty sound throughout. Again, not too many questions asked of them. You mentioned Will Hughes, who seemed to revel really in that central role, as we hoped he would, really stepping to the fore. And obviously in your chat with Filippo Giraldi, he mentioned that he could be a leader and he could be someone who should be stepping up, and he absolutely did. In terms of Cleverley and Chalobah, then how do you think they performed in having been freed up a little bit, if you like, with Will Hughes in the middle there?
Well, I think it's more sort of natural, really, for Chalobah to be pushing forward and having the opportunity to play the balls in behind, because I think he fancies himself a little bit as a bit of a playmaker, yeah, rather than just an enforcer.
He's got it in him.
Yeah, and he did do that. I don't think, you know, one performance makes him, you know, turns him into, you know, Andrea Pirlo or anything, but, you know, he's...
I bumped into Andrea Pirlo on the beach once in Ibiza. How about that? I was lying reading my book, turned over to my right, and there was Pirlo.
Are you joking?
No.
Because that happened to me as well.
Oh my God.
On my honeymoon...
Welcome to Pirlo Tales.
No, this was amazing. On my honeymoon, we were in Ibiza, same place, on the beach. He arrived, sort of round the back to my left-hand side, put his towel down, walked round onto the beach, and just walked into this very cool water. It was very cool at that point, because it was quite early on in the year.
And then just go... as he walked in.
He walked in, didn't flinch at all, obviously looked immaculate.
Of course.
And, you know, swished his hair around, just looked cool as a cucumber. And I was thinking... Ah, we've already got married. It's too late.
Well, there you go. Then, so Chalobah has combined us with talks about Andrea Pirlo on beaches. So a better performance from Chalobah, and then ironically hooked at half time. Perhaps the fact he was on a yellow card, and Watford home and hosed by that stage.
Yeah.
Tom Cleverley, you know, Dean Holden referenced him in his press conference. I think probably we got the term Tom Cleverley that we're going to need today, didn't we, in the Championship, doing what we know Tom Cleverley does best. So midfield a lot more functional,
yeah.
And it brought into play that front three, didn't it? And at the start of the season, if you said we were going to have Ismaïla Sarr, Juan Pedro and Ken Semmer up top as a 4-3-3, if we're going to go with that's what it was, up skillful players, pace, nimble and an ability to finish. And probably for the first time this season, we saw Watford as a potent threat. And how do you think those three looked? I mean, take the scoreline out of it, because obviously scoring early, Ismaïla Sarr straight away almost summed up his season for the goal, I thought, because he'd almost had too much space and too much time to think about it. And I thought he'd fluffed his cross and it took a deflection and ultimately ended up in the back of the net and Watford were up and running. How do you think those front three looked, and how often do you think Watford fans can expect to see that in the coming games?
Well, I would hope they can be reunited against Preston. I fear that, you know, maybe an away day, maybe trying to sort of rotate and think, right, well, let's, you know, we're back here against Derby. Maybe we can do the same on Friday. Maybe we might try something a little bit different. We don't want to put too much pressure on them.
Do they have to think that, though?
I don't know. Well, I think it would be naive to just sort of go, no, we've won, we've done this, we have to go again.
Yeah,
again, you know, there is, you know, there's the medical, there's the sports science side of everything. And, you know, I think that they don't need to sort of, we don't need to think, oh, we can only perform like that if we play those players.
Yeah.
I think the system is the way forward. But then we did sort of get an insight into when you lose the savviness of some of the players that were going off, you know, the fact that we'd started with Cleverley and when he came off, and there was a lot of change. It was almost like an international friendly a little bit in that second half, wasn't it? That it gets a little bit more disjointed. But I think overall, you've got Semmer, Sarr and João Pedro. They're all sort of, I mean, they're all everywhere. All the players are young and fit and everything. But, you know, I think that they can be, you almost want that to be your starting,
yeah,
starting front three. Because João Pedro, although he didn't score, he could have had a hatful. He was very sort of fluid in his movement.
I think the way he moves the ball, yeah, when he has, and it, you can take it for granted a little bit if nothing comes of it, but he's there 1 minute, gone the next, and yeah, it's not necessarily skinning his man, but it's just his confidence, and he's so comfortable on, yeah, the ball. He knows where it is, and it's just that innate understanding and skill he has, doesn't it, that was leaving Bristol City defenders sort of cursing, basically, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I think that, you know, I think another element to the performance as well is the fact that it showed the depth of the squad now that everyone is there and pretty much fit. I know Troy wasn't fit, and I was quite impressed just in a short little spell of having Ashraf Lazar on the left-hand side. I don't know how much of a player he's going to be, but he looked pretty tidy.
Two fouls as he came straight away when he came on?
No, but at least it shows that he's ready, he's up for the fight. He wasn't sort of caught napping with a ball in behind or anything like that. He looked pretty lively. Dan Gosling seemed to slot in. It was very sort of...
I thought he was terrific, actually. Yeah. I think Dan Gosling warrants a bit more of a mention, because he came on at half-time for Chalabar, and he looked like he buzzed around, didn't he? Yeah. He got involved. Two opportunities. He put one, yeah, just wide and had another chance a little bit later. So there was a lot of perhaps consternation about him as a signing, but straight away this afternoon I thought we saw how much he could perhaps benefit this squad.
Yeah, to have a word about Zinchenko as well, put in more central in, you know, one of those sort of pincer positions of Chalabar or Cleverley, more central rather than maybe more naturally being out on the left-hand side where João Pedro ended up. You know, he showed that what I love about him is that you know that his weight can take him either way, and I think that's going to be a huge asset because he's so difficult to pick, especially in those central areas. Yes, you know, if you're playing him on the left-hand side, you can try and edge him out towards the corner flag. Yes, we know that he can come in, but when you're central and you need to just have a little bit of guile, I suppose, to create some space, he's got that, and I think that that's really important. And what I liked as well is that we've been really predictable. And we weren't predictable today. And I think that that is the sort of the moral of the story. We have been so one-dimensional. There was barely a long ball that went up. And, you know, this isn't a criticism of Troy Deeney.
It sounds like this is going to be a criticism of Troy Deeney.
Yeah. No, but when you have him in the side, you can only really do one thing. Xisco Muñoz, he acknowledged the fact that when he was popping up all over the field and playing deeper and all that sort of stuff, come on, that's not the way forward. We've got creative players that can do that. We can pop little passes in, we can rotate, we can, you know, play in lovely triangles. It was almost just like the clouds parted and this sunshine came through and you thought, oh, right, we can do it. You know, so many times I've said on this podcast, what are you doing? You're doing it again.
Yeah.
They just did what they can do. And it was just,
it was enjoyable, wasn't it?
Enjoyable.
For the first time in a long time. And I think that's something that we all need to do. Let's not delve too much into it. It's a 6-0 home win. And Watford, it could be a benchmark, couldn't it? It could be a line in the sand. We've got two games in a week, Tuesday and it's Friday, I think, isn't it? Away at Preston. And then we've got Derby County at home who are struggling as well. So more opportunities for this Watford side to really press on and finally perhaps light the blue touch paper under this season. We'll see how they use people like Philip Zinkernagel in future, because Zinkernagel and Gosling could after all be, you know, difference makers for this Watford squad. My favourite goal, lad, was Sarr's first, because it looked quite simple. But what he did, he sold the goalie, didn't he? He took a touch, dummied the goalie and made it look a lot easier than it actually was. So I'm going to nick that one. Which was your favourite of the six?
Oh, that's a tough one. I would probably say you've nicked the one that I quite fancied, actually. I'm just trying to think what the fourth one was. Mark Hughes? Was he playing as well? That was Will Hughes' deflected one.
Yeah.
Fifth came in the second half.
A nice finish from Ismaila Sarr for the fifth as well.
Sarr, that one. I will take that one. There's been so many bloody goals, I couldn't remember which one it was. But that also gave a little insight into the build-up of what Will Hughes brings to the side. Not only anchoring, but comfortable bringing the ball forward. And I know there was a little bit of a deflection when it was then knocked on to Sarr, but he just had that confidence coursing through his veins, didn't he, once again? And it was such a cool, calm finish. And how many goals were from penalties?
Zero. The sixth, of course, was a nice one as well. And just a little mention for Andre at the end there, when, you know, he effectively threw on and kept his wits about him and played the ball instead of taking it on and secured the six.
And when those three, Zinkernagel, Sarr and Gray, broke forward, I mean, I really felt for the Bristol City defenders, including Adrian Mariappa, trying to keep up with those three. It was a really pacey, powerful counter-attack in the 89th minute. And I think that shows, and we started this discussion, from the first to the last minute, they were on it. And I thought that was absolutely fantastic. So fair play to Xisco Muñoz.
Very good, Adam. I'm going to give you a chance to redeem yourself by naming your man of the match. Who is it for you?
Will Hughes.
Will Hughes. Well done. William Hughes, Esquire. Well done, Watford FC. Well done. Well done, Adam. You've stuck with me in the freezing cold here, me asking you ridiculous questions at the top of a lift shaft. Cheers, my friend.
Absolute pleasure. Well done, everyone. Enjoy your weekends.
So, that is that. Just leaving Vicarage Road now. Floodlights still on, 6:15. All the media are wrapping up their duties, all the press conferences done, all everything being readied for the ground to be shut up, locked up, before there's another game, of course, on Friday. So, yeah, Watford won 6-0. And I've got to say that I do leave the ground with a smile on my face and a spring in my step. And I've said at the start of the podcast how exciting it is to see Vicarage Road, see the pitch. And that's absolutely true. But it has been tough for the last, certainly, 2 or 3 weeks. You know, with lockdown and everything, and the state of the world is quite tricky. And Watford haven't exactly been bringing a whole heap of joy with the matches they've been involved with. So to see them win 6-0, an absolute riot. It was a romp, wasn't it? And to see that was brilliant. So I do leave Vicarage Road with, you know, just feeling a little bit taller, a little bit happier. And I hope that everyone watching was able to feel that as well. Of course, it is sad that there aren't people here to watch it. The ground have been absolutely buzzing today. But it is where we're at. And what we hope to get from our football, really, is a bit of joy, a bit of excitement. Something that puts a smile on our face. And Watford have well and truly done that today. Some scintillating football, some lovely goals. João Pedro even managed to get in a fight at 5-0 up and the game done. That was brilliant. The boys looked like they cared. They sprayed the ball around. They played some decent stuff. We're smiling. And I think at this time, that is really, really important. Football should make you smile, and they've done that today. So I hope you've enjoyed coming with me. Thank you for listening to me waffle on. I appreciate it. I appreciate it every time someone listens to From the Rookery End. It means a great deal, and it's an absolute thrill to have been here today for such a brilliant performance. Thank you to Kelly for joining me. Lovely to see Kelly. Incredibly busy, as you know. And thank you, as always, to Adam for his insight. Interesting to hear Adam's take on the game. But today, thanks most of all to Watford Football Club. A 6-star performance, 3 points, and on we go. The season starts here, perhaps? Anyway, come on, you Horns! Yellows! Yellows!
The Athletic.
Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets, and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.